Do you have any rituals in your life? You probably have habits like brushing your teeth, maybe exercising. But if you engage in these routines and others mindfully, they can become rituals, deeply meaningful practices that can bring an extraordinary layer of joy to your ordinary life. Michael Norton explains how to embrace this in his new book, The Ritual Effect, From Habit to Ritual, Harness the Surprising Power of Everyday Actions. Michael is a professor of business administration at the Harvard Business School and the co-author of Happy Money, The Science of Happier Spending. Here he is to share five of his big ideas.
My name is Michael Norton. I'm a professor at Harvard Business School and the author of The Ritual Effect, From Habit to Ritual, Harness the Surprising Power of Everyday Actions. And today I'd like to share with you five insights from my research on rituals. The first insight from my research is that habits can be black and white, and rituals tend to be more technicolor. If you think of your own routine before you go to bed at night or when you wake up in the morning, very simple question, do you shower first and then brush your teeth, or do you brush your teeth and then shower? For about half of people, they shower and then brush their teeth, and for the other half, they brush their teeth and then shower. There's actually a tiny percent of people who do both at the same time, but most do one or the other. So think of your order, and now think if I asked you to switch the order. So if you shower first and then brush your teeth, imagine tonight or tomorrow morning, I said, actually, can you brush your teeth and then shower? Think for a moment about doing that and how it makes you feel. Here we find that about half of people say, I don't care, I'll do it in whatever order you ask me to. And half of people say, I don't want to, or I'd rather not, or I'd feel weird, or I'd feel off. And for me, this is the very beginning of the distinction between habits and rituals. If you're somebody who brushes your teeth and showers and you don't care what order it is, those are kind of habits for you. They're things that you need to get done. You do them every day, but there's not a lot of emotion in them. You're just kind of checking off a list. But if something about changing the order bothered you, even a little bit, if it gave you kind of a funny feeling in your stomach, it's moving a little bit more toward being a ritual. I don't mean a ritual like people in robes with candles. That's much further down the continuum. But I do mean that the order in which you do that matters to you, and it gives you emotions. When you do it your way, you feel ready to start the day. You feel like you can get it done today. And if it gets disrupted, or if I ask you to do it in a different order, you feel off, you feel weird, you feel like you're not ready to go. And that is why habits can be black and white. They're things we get done, cross them off the list, no big deal. Rituals are technicolor. They fill us with emotion. They fill us with meaning. They matter to us in a way that our mere habits do not. And that means that even the simplest actions can go from being something really boring and mundane to something emotional and interesting. So for some people, the way they tie their shoes in the morning, many people just tie their shoes, but some people say, you know what, I always go left shoe first and I always double knot, and then I go right shoe and I always double knot that as well. And that makes me feel like I'm ready to leave the house. So this idea that we can use these little tiny rituals, these little behaviors, and turn them into things that are more emotional and more meaningful, that really is what I mean by the ritual effect, that we can go from black and white and move to ritual and have our lives be a bit more technicolor. The second key insight about rituals is that they can be much more DIY than we often think. When I say the word ritual, the first thing that comes to mind for people are traditional, established, often religious rituals with a long history. We've been doing them this way for hundreds or even thousands of years, and we'll continue to do them this way in the future. And those rituals can be incredibly meaningful for people, a deep expression of their faith or a deep expression of their culture. They are really important for how we make meaning in our lives. But at the same time, what we found in our research is that people are often also freelancing. They're DIYing their own rituals. They're coming up with them for themselves in really quirky and interesting ways. So if you ask people, think of someone you loved that passed away, what did you do? People will say, there was a funeral. Often we follow the practices of my faith, and that was incredibly important and meaningful for me. But I also did something small to honor the person that was really specific to us. One woman in our research said that she washed his car the way he used to do when he was alive. You can feel what she was doing. Her husband obviously had a favorite car that he took care of, and she decided every week to continue to wash it in the way that he had. There's no 2,000-year-old text about washing cars as an expression of grief. But this woman came up with this very specific action in order to try to help her with her grief. And we see that time and again across domains of ritual, that people are absolutely honoring the cherished religious and cultural rituals that they've grown up with. And under the hood a little bit, or under the surface, they're also devising their own. People say, yes, we got married and this is what the wedding was like. And then they say, but we also do this little thing ourselves every day. One couple said, we clink our forks 3 times before we eat. Again, there's no book that says clink your fork 3 times before we eat, but people are freelancing their own all the time. And this to me really opens up the world of ritual for us in a way that I at least hadn't been thinking before. I'd been also thinking of them as the inherited rituals that come ready-made. And I wasn't thinking so much about them as an opportunity to come up with our own rituals in many domains of life, with not just with grief and with relationships, but at work or with our families, or when we're trying to get psyched up for the day or prepare for a big meeting. We have more flexibility than we might have thought to actually devise our own rituals and have them become meaningful for us. The third insight about rituals is that food can become much more than just merely food. In fact, one of the primary things we see rituals doing is enhancing otherwise boring or mundane experiences and turning them into something special and emotional and meaningful. And sometimes people will say, if I say I study rituals, they'll say, well, I don't do any rituals. You know, I'm not that kind of person. I'm not new agey. I don't believe in crystals or something like that. And I'll ask them very simple questions. So one question, for example, is, have you ever been sitting at a table and someone brought over a cake that they had very carefully frosted to look amazingly good, then decided to stick wax candles in it, light the candles on fire so the wax drips all over the cake that they just spent a lot of time trying to make look really good, sing kind of a tuneless song where each person is singing in a different key, and it's a very, very slow song, put the cake in front of you, you blow on the cake to blow the candles out, probably also if you're sick, blowing germs all over the cake, and then everybody eats the cake. And of course, people say, well, yes, of course I've done that. And I frame it like that because you can see, of course, what an odd, unusual thing some cultures have decided to do with cake. But of course, it's not cake, it's birthday cake. And even the number of candles on the cake come to have meaning to signify that we're moving from this age to the next age. So when you think about food, we use ritual to take things that are just mundane. Cake is kind of delicious, but you know, it's just a cake until we build a birthday into it. And it shows how much we love the person who we're celebrating. Another great example is you have liquid in a glass, and before you drink it, everyone lifts their liquid in the glass and clinks them together and says a one or two word phrase, like cheers or slancha, whatever the phrase might be. There's phrases all over the world that mean something like health or good luck. Why are we clinking glasses together at the risk of spilling liquid? Because again, we're taking the alcohol or whatever else we have in our cup and turning it into something more than just liquid. We're not just hydrating when we do things like this. We're creating meaning and we're bonding ourselves together. In things like family dinners, we can see that families could just sit down and inhale calories and then leave, but that's not often what families do. They have their own little quirks, their own little practices. They might start dinner by saying, everyone expressed something that they're grateful for today. Again, it's a chance for the meal and the food to do something much more for us than just be a meal or food. And that really is a key insight for rituals, is that with things like food and drink and even water, with ritual, we can turn them into something that really means a lot to us and has a lot of emotional resonance. The fourth insight about rituals comes from one of my favorite domains of studying rituals, which is our romantic rituals in our close relationships and our partnerships and in our marriages. And we discovered 4 elements of relationship rituals that are really important in determining what role they end up playing with our loved ones and with our marriages. The first is that if you think about your marriage or long-term partnership, what it really is an expression of commitment. You are saying, we have been together for a while, and we are going to keep staying together for a while as well. That's what we mean by committed. And we do things like put rings on each other's fingers. But how else do we show commitment to each other than signing paperwork and having ceremonies? Couples will do small things, their own little rituals, the couple that clinks forks 3 times every time before they meet, as a sign of, this is us, this is our ritual. We've been doing it for years, and we're going to keep doing it for years as well. And related to that is the second lesson of relationship rituals, which is that it's extremely important that they're exclusive. We clink our forks together three times, unlike other couples, and unlike in our previous relationships or in our future relationships. When people learn that their little relationship rituals have been recycled, they can be furious. Your ex is allowed to date other people, get married, and even have a family. They are not allowed to reuse the clinking forks three times. That is something that fills us with rage, which again shows how important these little rituals are in expressing our love for each other. The third insight is that rituals are very different from routines. And some couples take the same exact actions and turn them into a ritual. So if you think about having to shop for food every week, some couples say it's drudgery. We have to go to the store with the list and fill the cart, and we do it every week and we're kind of miserable. And other couples say, yeah, you know, we have to go shopping every week, but one thing that we do is we pick a new meal that we're going to make together, and we wander around the store trying to find the right ingredients to make that meal as our special weekly ritual. Now, in the end, they're just putting food in their cart and taking it home and eating it, but one couple has decided to move it from mundane and boring into something interesting and exciting and an expression of their commitment to each other. And the final lesson of relationship rituals is that it's important that we agree on them. One of the saddest findings in all of my research on rituals is that some couples do not agree on whether they have a ritual or not. So if we ask members of couples, do you have a ritual? Very often, both people say yes. Sometimes both people say no. But a small minority of people, one person says yes. We go to the store, we pick out food for our meal that's very special for us. It's very important and emotional. And the other person says, no, we just go shopping. And those couples, even when one person has this feeling that they have a ritual, they're actually no happier than couples who agree that they have no ritual at all. So the idea that we have to agree with our partner, which could mean coming up with a ritual together and acknowledging it, that this is our ritual, turns out to be very important in unlocking some of the potential of relationship rituals for our sense of commitment and relationship satisfaction. The fifth and final insight about rituals centers on the role that they play in our time at work. When I started studying rituals a few years ago, I was thinking more about the everyday ones that we do for ourselves, and that we do with our romantic partners and with our families. But it quickly became clear when talking to people that rituals actually play an important role, not just in their personal lives, but in their professional lives. And in fact, many people report that rituals scaffold their entire day at work, every single day they go to work, which for many people is the majority of days in their lives. So we started to examine the role that rituals can play at work. You can see that from the very beginning in the morning, when people are getting up and getting ready, they need to do something to transition from their self at home, which could be a dad, a husband, a roommate, a friend, to their professional self, which is a different person than the person they want to be at home. And of course, one thing that people turn to is ritual. People tell us all kinds of things they do before they leave the house in the morning, including brushing their teeth first and then showering if that makes them feel ready to go. When they get to work, they often do something the first moment they sit at their desks. For some people, it's coffee first, then email, then chat with a coworker. And other people say, I don't need coffee right away. I like to chat first, get settled at work, and then have my coffee. And for some people, that is the way that they help themselves move from home self to work self. During the day at work, a big meeting might come up or a big presentation that you're anxious about. Professional athletes have all kinds of interesting pre-performance rituals that they engage in. But we often do our own before these big stressful moments. A very common one that we see is people go into the bathroom at work, check to make sure that nobody's there, and then talk to themselves in the mirror and literally say things like, you got this, you can do this. We turn to rituals in these very stressful moments through our days at work as well. We also see the role of rituals on our teams at work. So for example, some teams, if we say, is there anything special you do? They say, nope, just show up to work. I don't even know their last names. And other teams say, well, no, actually, we do something special every week that's unique to us. One team said, there's five of us on the team, and each of us takes a different day of the week and gets lunch for the rest of the team. They're going to have lunch every day no matter what, but this team has created this thing where each day, one person takes care of the other person on the team by getting them lunch. They've moved from just a collection of strangers into a team. When we ask those people how they feel about their work, teams that have rituals tend to say that they find their work more meaningful than teams that say that they don't have rituals. and leaving work behind at the end of the day just to complete the entire loop of our workday, people often use rituals to say goodbye to work and try to be back to their home selves at night, to be with their loved ones, to be a dad, to be a husband, to be a partner, to be a friend. We did research with emergency room nurses, extremely stressful job, very hard to leave behind at the end of the day. And they often tell us that they engage in some kind of ritual. One nurse said that they would go into the shower, take a shower, and feel the day's stress washing off of them. And they said as it circled down the drain, they were able to leave work behind. So from morning, through our teams, through our stressful meetings, all the way to the end of the day, we use rituals at work to try to help us get through these sometimes stressful days and also make sure that we can be ourselves at home and someone else at work.
Thank you, Michael. That was Michael Norton with 5 big ideas from The Ritual Effect, From Habit to Ritual, Harness the Surprising Power of Everyday Actions. You might also like our book bite for The Power of Ritual, Turning Everyday Activities into Soulful Practices by Casper Turkile. I'm Michael Kovnat. Have a great day.